Fishermen in Greystones are still facing opposition to fishing in the local harbour, and this is an ongoing issue in the town. And tomorrow another denomination will take place, or it must be demonstration perhaps, in the town this weekend to raise the plight of the fishermen there. One of the wives of a fisherman wrote on the Greystones Open Forum, and it says, it's 9:30 p.m. and we're still waiting for Daddy to come home. He left before 5 a.m. this morning. For us, this is often normal. He works long hours, and because he's the skipper, he has more jobs to do when he finishes work to ensure that the boat is safe and running well for the next day. But today is different, and today I'm worried. I'm trying not to show our baby daughter that I'm worried, but today he left for work knowing there were people trying to stop him doing his job. His job is dangerous enough. His job is hard enough. It is scary and upsetting to me that there are people putting up roadblocks to stop him. People calling our distributors and telling them not to buy from us or collect our catch. The threat that they might try to take our boat or his boat or his ropes so he can tie up safely. This has to stop. In the meantime, I'm at home with a sleeping baby waiting. I know some of you went down to make sure he was okay today, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. And that's Laurel Pfizer Story, who's here with us. Laurel, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
And can tell us more about this in a second, but also Chris Hass is here. She's the partner of deckhand Ivan Clinch. Ivan Toole's wife Lisa is here, and we have Amanda, who his partner is Eric O'Reilly. Both are, you're all very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Laurel, that sounds pretty serious, and you know, it's self-evident what you feel is going on, but just put more flesh on it for us.
Yeah, it serves me right for having a rant on the internet, Declan, but thanks for having us in. I was having a really tough day, and I know when you marry a fisherman or you're in a relationship with a fisherman, you kind of know what you're getting into. It's long days and it's hard work, and you might not necessarily have them around a lot, but this is a whole different ball game now. Like, our days have just disappeared. We don't see our partners. We don't know what's happening to them during the day. Like, out at sea, obviously there's risk involved in their job anyway, but at the moment we don't know what the risk is going to be on land when they arrive in. So between maybe 5:30, 8:00 at night, I'm watching my phone. I'm waiting to see, you know, is he going to be arrested? Like, is there somebody going to take his boat on him? Is he going to be able to tie up safely? Like, it's unbelievable what they're facing, Declan, and it has to stop. Our councillors have to step in now. The local council authority has to step in. They have to give them what they were promised, and they have to make sure that the facilities are there and that they're safe. And that they have access to their harbour. This is going on years.
Is there a physical presence trying to stop fishing?
There's several aspects to it. So it's a private partner, private public partnership that was involved in developing the harbour and the marina. So essentially, it appears that the parties that have a monetary investment are trying to actively now stop.
And that's your view, and obviously they're not here.
My view.
But there is a group of people that are trying to prevent
people who have money invested in the project are
and don't want fishing to.
They appear continue. Now to be actively trying to prevent the fishermen from being able to make a living out of Greystones Harbour.
Yeah, Chris, has fishing been, you know, in your all your families since the beginning? You married into fishing, basically.
Yeah, as soon as I got with my partner, he had actually just started into the industry. He loves what he does. But at this point, with the long days and how much more arduous it's been getting and the adversity that they've been facing, we've a new baby as well, and we just have absolutely no time as a family anymore. And these lads are missing out on time with their kids. They're missing out on time with their partners. And like Laura was saying, like, they just don't know what they're going to face in the morning. Like, at about 9:00 every morning, I text them, like, how'd you get on? Did you get on the boat all right? Because like, the amount of things that are happening when they get to the wall in the morning or when they get back, they're absolutely no longer sure if they're going to be safe getting on the boat, safe getting off the boat, if they're going to be able to tie off, if they're going to be able to do anything like that.
Are you alleging interference with the boats?
Yes, the ladders that they use to access their boats have been tarred and greased. There's been rungs removed, and my partner's nearly fallen off the wall trying to get onto his boat. There was boulders put in order to prevent their access to their boats, and they've actually since built a wall. their boat was quote unquote confiscated by no names would be names, but in order to confiscate something legally, you have to have a legal authority to take it, and there was no legal authority behind it. So you can call it confiscation all you want, but in all seriousness, it was stolen. The ropes were stolen off their well, so they couldn't safely tie off. And the lads were there until nearly 10:30 that night. I know of one day I went over to the harbour with my son, and Tim was trying to get his bait through a fence that had been left open and that had since been locked, and those lads were down at the harbour until nearly 12:30 that night just trying to get their bait in. You know, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. These lads are just trying to provide like money, food, clothes, homes for their children and their families, and they're putting in a hard day's work. It doesn't need to be made any harder than it already is.
And Amanda, how long has Derek been involved in fishing?
Eric O'Reilly. He has been with Ivan now for about 8 years, and he's the skipper on the Orca for about 2 years now.
So. Right, and you know, how many boats are there? Many boats are in Greystones.
So there's three boats in Greystones at the moment. So there's the Centurion, the Golden Venture, and the Orca.
Right, and it's at least it's all been history, has it?
Yeah, like Ivan's family, like I'm Ivan's partner, and fishing goes back at least 100 years, and his family, all his ancestors, the Kinsleys and all, they were all fishermen. So for Ivan, he was just following on his family's work. He absolutely adores fishing, and he's done it since he was probably 20. And he fished mainly out of Greystones for years. So he feels that he's definitely been vindicated. Like, you know, it's a common thing. Greystones has become more like a marina now for the rich and whatever else. And there was very little sailing boats in Greystones before this all occurred. The fishing would have been the main attraction, and people loved going down to Greystones. They loved seeing the fishing boats. And like, if we visit any county in Ireland, you will go.
Any country in the world.
Yeah. When we go to France, when we go anywhere, we go to see, we always make it to a harbour to see the fishing. And the people of Greystones, they really miss it too. So like, you know, they do have a lot of people behind them, and
it's their heritage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Laurel, you feel that since the change in Greystones from just being a fishing harbour of a small village to a big town with the marina, that the whole atmosphere has changed?
Absolutely. I'll own up now. I'm a blow-in. I'm Scottish by birth, but I've been here 22 years. And Tim's family are generations in Greystones. His granny was known for beating the postman on his bike and swimming in the sea every day. And it's just, it had that small town feel. It had that beautiful charm of a fishing village. And, you know, I love researching, so I went and looked back at the heritage. It goes back hundreds of years, all the church records. You know, go spend an hour in the library and you'll see the heritage of the town is always a fishing place.
Yeah, what sort of fish, by the way?
Oh, so the lads are fishing crab and lobster, which are just kind of in close around the coast here. So they're the most local seafood, if that's what people are looking for. They also fish the whelk fishery, which aren't as popular here. Whelk's a mollusk, like a sea snail, and they mainly get exported out of the country, but our crab and our lobster that you get in restaurants would most likely come from these guys' boats, which is the funniest thing, because, you know, if you want to have a lobster dinner in Greystones, you know, so it's a crying shame that we're going to lose this heritage if we don't stand up for it now.
So there's a new council now that I think they've only met once or so. Have you had any reaction from various Greystones municipal district councillors?
This, Declan, honestly is the thing that makes me cry. Like, it actually has made me cry. It's very frustrating. They are very much verbally on our side. People constantly say, oh, you know, we need to get this sorted, we need the fishing boats back in Greystones, we're in support of it, and then they don't do anything. We've had no action from the council to support us. We need action now, because the lads, they just want to get on with their job, and that's what they're doing. We need the council to start doing their job.
And Chris, have the Gardaí been involved with some of the allegations that you're making?
Well, the guards were actually involved and were the ones who actually got the ropes back for the lads that were stolen off of the wall in order for them to tie off. So there's actually photos up on the Save the Greystones Fishing Fleet group on Facebook, if you ever want to take a look. There's actually photos of the guards going into the place where the ropes were confiscated and taken, and they're being given back to the lads by the guards because it was in no lawful way taken. Also, back to what Laura was saying about the fish and everything like that, there's a lot of people saying it'll bring an awful smell. Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you know, but if you live by the ocean, there's going to be fish.
And seagulls.
There's going to be seagulls and things like that. So
you feel it's like somebody wants a manicured beach as such, and not the nature.
Monte Carlo, but the funny thing is Monte Carlo has fishing there.
So what would you like to have, Amanda?
Basically what they were promised all those years ago and what they've been fighting for. Like, they're
what were they promised?
Facilities, so
a place to land.
That they would be included in the development of the harbour.
Yeah, which was what the original plan was.
And access and bins, so they keep it tidy and somewhere to store the bait, so there's no, you know, smell or, you know, anything from the bait, and just, yeah. Some very basic facilities, Declan, not a huge expense.
And Lisa, who owns, I don't mean people, but is it not, it's not the council anymore that own the harbour, is it? It's private, is it?
Well, yeah, it is private.
Is that where the issue is?
What do you think,
Laurel? I've actually had to dig into this, Declan, to actually figure it out. It's public. It's a public harbour that has gone into a public-private partnership. So the development is private. So there's one aspect of that is the developer.
Have you have the lads or yourselves had any negotiations or conversations with people?
This is the thing they've attempted. This is not coming out of nowhere. This is coming out of years of attempting to enter into dialogue and just requesting access and facilities. They haven't just decided to blockade a harbour out of nowhere. As I was saying earlier on, people have said, oh yes, we'll sort this out. It's so frustrating. You think you're going insane when people tell you, oh, something's going to be done, and then they do nothing.
Is there an alternative?
The alternative is Dunleary, so that...
But there's no alternative in Greystones?
No.
No. But at the start of all this, the guys, Ivan attended several meetings with the council when the plans were being originally made for the development, and they were very much involved in these plans, so... and they agreed to certain things. They agreed to their facilities. They told the council, they told the developers what they needed. So they were very much included. So it was like they were just slipped away to be forgotten about. And whereas the fishermen were actively working, like, it's just, I actually feel whoever is responsible should probably be prosecuted, and the council should probably be remanded on where the original plans for the harbour.
So we want to go back to the beginning. This is what we were promised. This is what was agreed.
Yes.
So honour it.
And where's the accountability for this?
Yes.
Where, you know, when things go missing from plans that were publicly consulted, and they are changed without public notification at all. There was public consultation. The fishing facilities were there. The development started. Those plans were changed throughout the course of the development. The fishing facilities disappeared.
And you feel you're not getting help from...
We just like to know where
councils.
The accountability is within the local council. And then we need some action. We need them to be able to go ahead and do their work, because they're being prevented from doing their work.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, there's
protest
a protest.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Big day tomorrow.
And it would be really nice if any local councillors who want to give us support would actually give us support and stop giving us timelines that aren't really making a whole lot of sense. Like, you can tell us that you're going to help us in a few months or in a few weeks, but the amount of money that the lads would lose in that amount of time would absolutely blow the head off you. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we need action now, and it's why we're doing the protest, and it's why we're getting everyone involved.
And where's the protest?
The protest is on Saturday at 12. The reason the protest is now happening, they did do a demonstration when they came back into the harbour, but the protest now is retaliation in kind. They're being actively blocked from going about their job, from accessing their boats, and people calling their distributors and telling them not to buy from them. That's actively preventing them from doing their job.
Okay.
So it's an active blockade now.
All right. Well, obviously the other parties who allegedly might be doing something are not here to answer, but they're the allegations this morning, and you're obviously very frustrated by what's going on.
We just want our family lives back.
Yeah. Exactly. The impact fishing in Dunleary for all these years, and, you know, it's been a lot. Like, what, it's unnecessary.
Okay. Thanks for coming in and telling us the story anyway.
Okay.
Thank you. Do you mind me calling you the fishermen's partners or wives or...
Fishwives.
Fishwives. Fishwives. Okay. That's all different connotations and things. Yes. All right. Good to talk to Laurel, to Chris, and to Amanda. And have I left somebody out there? Lisa. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.